The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The voice of the people. News Talk 710, KNUS, Denver.
Put your sweet lips a little closer to the phone.
But we got one rule. You can only call once a week. This is Peter Boyles.
Peter Boyles is out this week. He will be back on Monday. I'm Randy Corcoran from Saturday Morning's Wake Up with Randy Corcoran. So good to have you along. One line is open only. Get while the getting's good. 303-696-1971. 696-1971. Before we grab the lines, just a little levity from good buddy Henry's car guy. And a couple of times after the Saturday Morning show, he's come over to show me his classic cars. Be waiting out in the parking lot. Sometimes I've driven one of mine in, and so that's how I know Henry, Vietnam War veteran, used to be the first emailer every single Saturday morning on Wake Up with Randy Corcoran, and I guess maybe he's sleeping in a little bit now, but just real quick, and then we'll get right to the phones. Democrats, he texted to the 710 text-to-studio line, Democrats are not after the truth. They're after President Trump. If they were after the truth, Hillary Clinton would be in prison. Breaking news, Trump to start deporting Democrats. Mexico responds by starting to build the border wall. I love that one. And last one, I've never seen a country work so hard to get rid of a president, but not illegal immigrants and drug dealers and child traffickers. Only correction I would make to that one, Henry, is I would substitute the word aliens for immigrants. That really triggers the left. As evidenced by the front page story in yesterday's Denver Post that a Denver Democrat state legislator will propose one of her five bills in order to remove the terms illegal alien from Colorado statutes. Wow, what a priority. And nowhere to be seen. We'll see if it's in tomorrow's paper, Thursday's paper. I'll be checking. I will report back to you on Thursday morning. What page does the Denver Post put the massacre of a grandma by a six-time invader of our country, an illegal alien, just released hours ago from Black Hawk for a DUI, a couple days later, then mows down the lady. Unbelievable. We'll see where that makes the news on the good old Denver Post. Anyway, promise to get to the phones, and I will. This is looks like folks want to talk in large part about Cory Gardner. I wrote this piece in the Colorado Sun. It's entitled, Cory Gardner Will Do the Right Things, Acquit President Trump, and Win in 2020. You can get it off my Twitter feed at Randy Corcoran. Send me a friend request on Facebook or go to the Wake Up with Randy Corcoran Facebook page, whatever. It's all over the place now. And read it. I think it makes a compelling argument, regardless of your love or lack of love for Cory Gardner. Remember, I'm the guy who went 1,500 days. I had the Facebook page, Why Won't U.S. Senator Cory Gardner Go on Wake Up with Randy Corcoran? 1,500 plus days that between interviews before he started coming back on the show again. And so I've had plenty of disagreements over the years with Cory Gardner. But this is 2020 and President Donald Trump and an opportunity to advance the America First agenda at lightning pace. But you can't do it without both branches of Congress. You just can't do it. So let's see. Who do we got first here? Looks like, can't read that small print. Jim in Littleton, you've been waiting the longest. Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning, Randy. Great show today.
Thank you.
You know, I want to just say I do agree with you. Cory Gardner is, I mean, for anybody that can think this out, he is our best shot, and we do need to retain the Senate. But my question to you is this. I agree with you, but I just don't see where Cory Gardner has done things within our state to show that he is in line with Trump. I hear it from you. I hear it from his spokespeople. But I don't hear it from him. Can you give me a few examples?
Well, it is true that it seems to be an election strategy to not talk about the president a great deal, doesn't invoke his name. Great speech that he gave at the Western Conservative Summit this year and at his Christmas party a couple of Fridays ago, where Trump's name didn't really come up. But on the flip side, he talks to Trump on a regular basis. He's voted for Trump, 90% of the time. He has delivered things to Colorado that would not be here but for his relationship with Trump. You know, things like the Space Force, the first base, I think, is going to be in Colorado Springs or somewhere here in Colorado. The Bureau of Land Management is in Grand Junction now. He's getting things done for our state. And it is my understanding, and, call me a liar once it's untrue, but right now my belief is that the president will be here once for sure, but up to three times in 2020, and that Cory Gardner will be standing with him. We shall see.
Wow, I haven't heard that. I heard he was just going to bypass the state. So now you're telling me one, possibly three times he's coming out
here,
Trump?
Yeah, I think three is actually pretty likely. Donald Trump is targeting states that have traditionally, over the last couple of election cycles, been predominantly Democrat. You know, it's interesting. I point out in this editorial I wrote for the Colorado Sun on Sunday, and it's a great reminder for folks that Trump performed better in Colorado, losing to Hillary Clinton by less than 5%, than John McCain, lost to Obama by 9%, Mitt Romney by almost 5.5%. So in an increasingly blue populated state of Colorado that is trending blue, had a blue wave in 2018, Donald Trump, an unknown quantity at the time, except for being obnoxious, brash, pushy, feisty, all of the moral questions or whatever, nobody knew how he would perform. And now, by the time he's on the ballot, we're going to have 4 years of the most tremendous economic and other successes in my lifetime.
I agree with you. Now, here's my question to you. I think Cory Gardner would be considered an establishment Republican within our state. Would you not agree with that?
I would.
Okay. I've heard from establishment Republicans that 18 was a massacre for the Republicans because of Trump.
Yeah, and I argue with them every time I get the chance, a Republican breakfast, at a speaking event, if they show up at my Tea Party meeting. And, there are other editorials in the Colorado Sun that talk about, Trump is toxic to voters in Colorado. Mm. BS, baby. 95% of Republicans are supportive of Trump. That's historic. That's never happened in the history of the party since they've been recording those statistics anyway.
So why did the Republicans get massacred in 18?
Well, I can tell you for sure, Republicans have identified a ton of people who voted in 2016 that didn't vote in 2018. We had an uninspiring candidate for governor. It was the off-year election, so it is very typical for things to swing to the party that's not in power in those off years. Nothing particularly unusual about that. And we had a Republican Party that was a disaster. We weren't harvesting votes. We weren't putting up, victory offices or utilizing technology, in a super positive way. We didn't even have much money for the Republican Party. But this is a new age, a new day, new leadership. President at the top of the ticket, and from what I can see, and listen, I'm no insider, no expert on any of this kind of stuff, but it is definitely different. I'll go to a rally in front of Jason Crow's office to stop the impeachment madness or something like that. Vice chair of the Republican Party is there. Other officers and people from the Republican Party are there. They're sharing it on their mailing lists and websites and helping to be back involved with the grassroots. Second Amendment rallies, we'll see folks down there. I didn't see that for the last 4, 5, 6 years.
Okay, you've just mentioned Republican base being there. I don't think the establishment's been there protesting Jason Crow.
Well, the vice chair of the Republican Party, is that she's not an establishment person. I don't think Ken Buck is an establishment person. And I think there's a lot of establishment people who, if you listen to Karl Rove, for God's sake, And Karl Rove is somebody I like personally. I was with him for a period with my dad. He treated my dad with such kindness. He's interesting, wrote a fascinating book on the years in the Bush White House and all the crap he went through when the Democrats tried to literally take him out. An establishment Republican through and through. But even he understands what this president has accomplished and the importance of a second term, and he's on board. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, everybody's welcome. Come on.
Well, Randy, I will just say this. It's up to you to convince us, but I think I've heard Peter use this term uniparty, and I really do believe Colorado is kind of like a uniparty. And until the Republicans separate themselves by doing things such as you're saying about, you know, protesting Jason Crow, I think we have a problem. And we have to make it a clear line between the two of these two parties. I'm a registered Republican because I support Trump, not because of the Republican Party in Colorado. And that's an unfortunate situation.
Yeah, no, I agree. But I would maybe give the current Republican Party an opportunity to prove you wrong. Talk to the young constitutional attorney, woman, advocate for liberty, activist, Tea Partier type person who's now the vice chair of the party. Ken Buck, who is, you know, wrote the book on draining the swamp. I mean, it's different. And I'd say give it a chance. I've got a full line. So thank you very much. Great comments this morning, Jim. All right. Take it easy. All right. Let's go to Joe in Arvada. Good morning. Welcome to the Peter Boyle Show.
Hi, Randy. Well, I'm right there. Here's the thing. I've always said, from what I've learned and observed about Cory Gardner, that he's not a true conservative. He was just a conservative Tea Party Republican for expediency's sake, but he could win us over. And I am willing to come aboard on this condition. And I said this the last time we spoke, Cory Gardner needs to step up to the plate, invite President Trump to the Air Museum, go ahead and get hand in hand with Casper Stalkum. Oh, I know, there's Steve House, the guy that was always against Trump until he was the candidate and then flipped his colors. Oh, wow, I'm a Trump supporter now. But Casper Stalkum was a Trump supporter from get-go. So here's the thing. If Cory Gardner wants to win the election, you need to do a mea culpa, Cory Gardner. You need to get the Trump agenda under your skin and like it. Because if you are going to say, oh, I'm a Trump supporter now, well, then you're for building the wall, Cory Gardner. You're for getting rid of some of these illegal aliens that are criminals in our country.
Joe, I don't think we're going to get him there. I don't think that's who he is.
Well, see, that's the exact problem.
But with President Donald Trump, but 90% of the time voting on the Trump agenda, voting for all except one of the conservative federal judges, the record-setting 185, 186 federal judges, two Supreme Court justices. Remember, this next election, in my mind, this is why I'm just going all in now. This next election, in my mind, is about the president and about having Republicans around him that will support most of his agenda. And the best chance to have one of our Senate seats remain in Republican hands is Cory Gardner. Regardless,
I do agree with that, too.
Okay.
I agree with you that Gardner is the best chance. Here's the thing. If he goes the way he's going to get 90% of our support. That's the problem. He needs 100% of us. All he has to do is toe the Trump line. See, I said this back in 2018. The problem with the Colorado Republicans is that they would not get on the Trump train. All they would do is get on the Colorado train, the Colorado Republican train. They would not climb aboard the Trump agenda, and that is why they lost.
Well, I certainly agree that there was not nearly enough enthusiasm, lousy candidate, lousy management, lousy vote harvesting, lousy use of technology, lousy fundraising. It was abysmal. But I'm looking ahead.
It was exactly what Steve House proposed. He was doing the same thing before Trump, and then when you know, he said he was a Trump supporter, But then for the 2 years between 2016 and 2018, we got nothing but Colorado Republicanism. It was a failure to get aboard the Trump train that lost both houses of the Colorado legislature.
But we truly had an establishment Republican in charge of the Republican Party then. It wasn't Steve House. It was Jeff Hayes.
I understand. That is, but then the problem with the Colorado Republicans for the last, 30 years? They need to identify that the country has moved onto the Trump train. It's time to get aboard, Cory Gardner. If you don't, you will get about 75% of your base. How's that going to go over in the election, Cory?
I can tell you that the leadership of the Republican Party is there. I don't know that Cory Gardner will ever quite get there, but a 90% voting record ain't bad. But I'm with you, man. Let's push as hard
I'm
as we
saying,
can. But you don't agree.
I'm with you.
You're not with the folks who say we got a primary Cory Gardner, or I'm not going to vote for him because he's not conservative enough. Not in this particular next election, are you?
I agree with that. I do think that now, because he's an incumbent, he has the greatest chance to win.
Yeah.
But if he really wants to win, he needs to swallow his pride and realize that the Trump agenda is the right agenda for America, not the Cory Gardner agenda.
Well, you and I certainly agree on that. Joe, great call. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
All right. Bless you. A couple of good text messages on this topic, and then we'll get to Doug in Denver. Gardner just needs to say, I'm standing with the president on something, on anything. Not one piece of his fundraising or campaign literature ever mentions that he supports President Trump. I will vote for him anyway, but holding my nose. Yeah, I get it. I would love to see more full-throated support, and I think it is a campaign strategy mistake, but an intentional strategy to believe that the 90% voting record, the voting for all the conservative judges except for one, the things that he's delivered to Colorado in part because of the good relationship he does have with the president, allow him to distance himself from the president and perhaps collect votes from those folks who don't support the America First agenda as wholeheartedly as Joe or you or I do. And I think it's a mistake. But I think it's a concerted strategy and one we've got to live with or continue to try and persuade them differently. I wonder, Kelly, do we have time for one more call? Okay, let's go ahead and get Doug in. Full lines. Doug in Denver, welcome.
Morning, Randy.
Morning.
Hey, something that I haven't heard mentioned but I think is probably the most important reason we have to support Cory Gardner. Right now the Senate is 53-47. Mitt Romney, Claire McCaskill, and Susan Collins frequently vote against these judges, and then Mike Pence casts the deciding vote, and they get confirmed. If the Democrats flip one Senate seat, it's no longer 53-47, it's 52-48, and those three vote against Trump, and Mike Pence no longer has the deciding vote.
Yeah,
judges do not get confirmed.
Yeah, you said Claire McCaskill. You meant Lisa Murkowski from Alaska, right?
Yeah,
Susan Collins,
you're right.
Murkowski, and Mitt Romney, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. No, I'm with you there, too, brother. I really am. It's, you know, we had a caller earlier, my old buddy Jack from Wyoming, who said, you know, I just don't think it's that important to reelect Gardner because we're going to do so well in the 2020 elections, and I don't like him. I just don't think we can be that flippant.
Right.
The love for the president. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, we can't run the risk. And been working with Trump Victory 2020, and everything that I've heard is he is planning on coming out here.
Out of doubt.
At least two or three times during the next year.
Man, that's going to be epic, isn't it?
It is going to be. We live in fascinating times.
Yeah. You know how much it bothers the left to hear us so happy about it all?
I know.
Doesn't that make you even happier?
Yeah, it does.
Ho, ho, frickin' ho.
Yeah, I hear you.
All right, great call, man. Thank you very much.
You too. Merry Christmas.
All right, you too. 7:22. We'll take our break now. Some lines are open at 303-696-1971, 696-1971. Thomas went away, but he was going to say, it's Christmas Eve, lighten up. I know. I came in, and my whole, I asked Kelly, man, she can get some Christmas music in there, and you know, invited Kelly to come in. We'd sing some carols for you guys. And by the way, you guys realize Kelly is my boss here. So when you call to get on the phone, make sure you remember, yes, sir, no, sir. May I speak to the loudmouth who's on the air right now, sir? Thank you, sir, very much. Keep him happy. All right, please. 721 Peter Boyle Show. Randy Corcoran, stay with us. 710 KNUS.
This is the Peter Boyle Show.
See, we're trying.
Well, way up north where the air gets cold.
Caller went away, but he was going to say, chill, man. Christmas Eve. I know, but time is valuable. Time's a-wasting. Big things are happening. We're living through the impeachment of a president over a phone call that somebody doesn't like, over policies that somebody doesn't like. Absolutely, remarkably incredible. And if you look at the New York Slimes, the Washington Compost, all of the main papers, the headlines are just nonstop, always trying to chip away. Christianity Today comes out and says all the reasons that real good Christians, you know, need to turn away from this president who's done more to slow down the slaughter of innocent unborn babies than any president, probably more so even than Ronald Reagan, who at least was in the conversation. The hypocrisy is remarkable. Our 8 o'clock guest, Jenna Ellis, wrote a great piece in response to the Christianity Today article, and we'll get into that with her, as well as what fun it must have been for her when she was on CNN last Friday, I think, and they had a gotcha moment all teed up. They didn't warn her about it. They didn't tell her it was coming. It was going to be gotcha, girl. Legal advisor to the president. We gotcha. Because on Fox News earlier in the day or the day before, whatever, she had said that Democrats hate America. They hate our constitutional republic. Hate. She used the word, and they were ready. And boy, did she take them down. We'll play that again and let her comment on that when she joins us at the 7 o'clock hour. Cory Gardner is the hot topic now. Let's see. I already read that one. Gardner is waiting for his chance to stab. We'll get back to the full lines in a second. Cory Gardner waiting for his chance to stab our president in the back. His only hesitation is the overall popularity that the president has shown. To me, that is the reason he doesn't show vocal support for our president. Votes with him 90% of the time. Is his point man on Asian policy, including what's going on in China. Talks to him once a week at the least. So, you know, listen, I don't think it's unreasonable for people to say, I don't like when the president says that. When President Trump told John Dingell, or, you know, talked about John Dingell looking up from hell, I didn't like that. I kind of did, because I know the context of it. I know what John Dingell said about the president before he died. I know what John Dingell did for his wife, Debbie Dingell, who took over the seat, the Democrat seat in Michigan, to help with the burial and showing tremendous respect for her fallen husband. And then she turns around and lambastes him on this impeachment nonsense. So and John Dingell had said, told the president to go straight to hell before he died. So, you know, it's a joke. It's tough. It's a tough one. But in context, and especially in context of this president, it makes perfect sense. But it is reasonable for people to come out and say, I didn't like that. Or I don't agree with this policy. One of our callers in a second is going to talk about the border. I had a big, big void between Cory Gardner and President Trump on what we should be doing on the southern border. I get that. I'm setting all of that aside for election 2020 for all of the reasons that I've been talking about, laid them out in my piece in the Colorado Sun. You really should go and read it. Let me just tell you, but then we'll get back to the full lines. Gardner doesn't talk about Trump, a lot about Trump. This is from my piece in the Sun. But his campaign freely affirms that the two men talk at least once per week on average. He's the point man for Trump's Asia policy, votes with Trump over 90% of the time to reduce taxes and regulation. That the reduction of regulation, nobody talks about it. It is the most significant driver of this incredible economic success that we are living through right now in the United States of America. Donald Trump, one of his big promises, his big, big policy, economic policy speech, there were 7 bullet points to it. And you can read it and see that he is checking them off. And it had to do with unfair trade agreements. It had to do with lowering taxes for corporations and for individuals. And it had to do with getting rid of regulations. He promised he would get rid of 2 regulations for every 1 regulation. He didn't. For a while, it was 16-1. And now the pace has slowed down a little bit, but it's still 8-1. Unnecessary, job-killing, economic slowing regulations gone under this president. But I digress. Worked with Trump to strengthen the military, has helped confirm Trump's record-setting number of constitutionally conservative federal judges, including 2 Supreme Court justices and approximately 185 others, including, I wrote 11 in the article, I guess it turned out to be 13 on the day the House voted to impeach the president. I'm looking at those big pictures for 2020 because I support the America First agenda. And Donald Trump needs a Republican Senate and a Republican House. Even the ones who disagree with him will come along for things that help all of us. All right. Sorry about that. Full lines. Ooh, let's see. This is very interesting. Thad on a cell phone. Mark Levin's book, Abuse of Power Discussion. Love me some Mark Levin. Bring it on, brother.
Mark Levin, Unfreedom of the Press. In the last chapter of the book, which I'm finishing now, it was a slog to get through that book. It's a hard read, but it's not, let's put it, it's not compelling read. You gotta work at it, but the information is unbelievable.
Which one?
Unfreedom of the Press.
The newest,
Unfreedom of the
Press. It's excellent.
Yes. It's excellent. And the last, next to last chapter, or the chapter before the epilogue, he goes through and documents abuse of power by previous presidents that should be mandatory reading for everybody to understand that Donald J. Trump has not done anything comparatively to, in fact, he's not done any abuse of power that I know, I can see.
Can you recall any specific examples that stick out in your mind?
Yes, certainly not. Certainly, President Roosevelt using the IRS, directing the Secretary of the Treasury Morgenthau to open IRS tax investigations against publishers of newspapers,
sure,
who espoused opposition to the New Deal.
Yeah. Threatening to pack the Supreme Court. Obama used the IRS.
Yes.
Obama spied on journalists. Go ahead.
Yes, Kennedy did the same thing with Ben Bradley. He had an assistant who was given unfettered access to the IRS records of this, particularly the New York Times, among other newspapers and opponents. To be able to threaten them with tax investigations.
But Thad, don't you remember when Donald Trump abused his power by pulling the press pass of Jim Acosta?
Exactly. Exactly.
Just hilarious.
Exactly.
Hey, I've got
it is.
I've got full lines, but this is such a great point that you're making. And you're right. This is a heavy book. I've read all of Levin's books. My favorite, Men in Black, is one of his earlier books on the Supreme Court. Have you ever read Liberty and Tyranny, though?
I have. Liberty and Tyranny is one of his best.
Yeah.
It's the best. It's really good.
And it really is
written. It's not a hard read.
Right.
It's not really a hard read.
Right. It's written at that introductory level and still well documented. If you get into the footnotes and all of that, then you can really dig down deep if you want to. Great call, Thad.
It is.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Merry Christmas to you and to all at KNUS. Thanks so much.
Thank you so very much as well. Let's get to Johnny in Denver. Johnny, good morning.
Yeah, Randy, I wanted to talk on this point. In the 2018 election, I went to my first Republican, caucus? Well, yeah, caucus, yeah. And I remember going to my Democrats once, and it was full of people. I went to this one, and I lived in the, by the West School area, and there was only like probably less than 20. But they gave me this list to call people, and it was like over 100 people. And I'm thinking, like, where are these people?
Yeah.
And I didn't understand, like, and it was kind of funny that my friend who was a Tea Partier, she was afraid to tell me about Republicans and stuff like that because she was afraid to lose my friendship. And I had to, you know, start digging on my own and starting, like, it was a Wizard of Oz moment where I said, look behind the curtain. Who's that man behind the curtain kind of thing?
Why would your friend have thought talking to you about Republicans would lose the friendship? What was it about you or who you are or whatever?
I don't know. She just was just too kind. And I'm saying, forget about being kind. Say, if you see a person out there drowning, pull them out.
Yeah.
And she was just kind of being like too kind. And I like Donald Trump because he's a fighter. And he was the first person I ever saw in a Republican party. Well, Reagan was kind of close.
Yeah.
I like when he came in and then things just boom. But he was the second person, I guess, I saw that was a fighter. And that's what really attracted me.
Sure.
as a black American, because I live in this world of, you know, they see my skin color, they think I automatically am a Democrat.
You're a black man?
Yes.
Okay.
So I can walk into these rooms and I can listen to the other side, and, which with my a lot of my black friends and brothers and sisters, and I can hear this other side. But then I know they're conservative in their heart, and they don't go for all the stuff that the Democrats are going for, but they just hold their nose and they vote that way because they're really voting against their best interests and talk like they're saying we're voting for our best interests when they're really not.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely terrific. And, Johnny, are you talking to other black folks in your community?
Oh, yeah.
Neighbors, friend, church, whatever? And,
oh, yeah.
I mean,
and it's a lot of emotions, and they get really angry.
I'll bet. But do you get it? We see these great polling numbers for the black community turning toward Trump, you know, liking the jobs, liking the criminal prison reform and some of those things. Are you seeing that or sensing that? Now, you're in Denver, so that it's likely to be more of a liberal enclave. But are you seeing or sensing any of that yourself?
Yeah. There are just people, and I get on YouTube a lot, and so I find a lot of camaraderie there. Amongst the people that I know now, it's almost like pulling a tooth slowly. You know, it hurts, it's hurting, and as it's coming out, and then you get the relief after it's out. So it's like it's slowly coming to that point. But what I just do, I just point out facts, and then I say, you argue with the facts. Like, there's a website. You can't do this on Google because Google won't tell you this. It's a web thing, a search called Start Page. And so I can Google, like, the 10 things that, positive things that Donald Trump said. And I just send them that, and I said, okay, tell me 10 things that Obama did.
Yeah.
And I got one friend to tell me, well, you placed the first black librarian in Washington. And I'm thinking, okay, that's interesting. But what did he do that helped all Americans, including blacks? And that helps her. I'm glad for her. So, you know, I hear things like that, and they really don't have the facts. And I was there, too, so I understand that.
Sure.
I just had emotions. But then
it's so important for you to motivate folks to get involved, to learn, and then to step up themselves and start talking to other people. It's really great. I hope I get a chance to meet you sometime, Johnny. I don't think we've ever met before.
All right.
Thank you so much for the call. Lines are full, but we do need to take a break. I do want to read a couple of texts, though. I'm not going to identify this texter. You know why. We need a John Elway to primary Cory Gardner. I think Elway's the only guy who can beat Hickenlooper. All right. And then from my beloved son, let's not vote for Gardner because he doesn't like Trump. That's dumb. Keep the Senate seat from the mouths of babes. I feel like this election is so much more important than 2016 because we have a lot more to lose. So much progress has been made and the nation is on a teeter-totter. Yeah, I get that. Boy, do I get that. We are we could turn to socialism. Look at these Democrat candidates. I can't imagine that any of them can stand up to this president on stage, but what if they do? Man, oh man, all hands on deck. And that includes setting aside all of the years of complaining about Cory Gardner just for one election. Just for one election. All right, we've got to get to, we do have one line open now, 303-696-1971. Jenna Ellis scheduled at the top of the hour. Right now, though, it's 741 on the Peter Boyle Show. I'm Randy Corcoran, 710 KNUS.
Download our free mobile app and listen to 710 KNUS on your phone or hear us at home or at work on your Alexa device. Details at 710KNUS.com. Message and data rates apply. We now return to the Peter Boyle Show.
A little bit of a concession to Christmas Eve. I swear to you, I came in, said, let's do some Christmas music. Let's keep it calm and collected. I was looking around for some sweet Christmas stories to talk about, and boom, away we go. About 10 minutes to go until 8 o'clock. We're scheduled to be joined by Jenna Ellis, just doing terrific work now on behalf of the president. Used to sit right behind this very microphone as a fill-in host from time to time. Looking forward to that conversation. Another text from my son. Yeah, I love you too, buddy. We will be spending Christmas, first Christmas in my son's new home with his fiance and everybody, getting everybody well enough, a brand new grandbaby, some awfully good-looking dogs, and some cats, whatever. And really looking forward to that. I'm Randy Corcoran. I'm here for Peter all week. Peter will be back in the saddle Monday morning. And, boy, we better get back to the lines because they are full. And Jim's been waiting the longest on Cory Gardner. Good morning, Jim in Denver. Jim, you there? Put Jim back on hold. Maybe he's on delay listening to his radio. Jay's got a drunk driver story. That's very important. Jay, good morning.
Good morning, Randy. Thank you for everything that you folks in the station, what you folks do for us is it's truly incredible.
Thank you, sir.
Amazing. Concerning the issue with the individual that was just killed, which I don't know anything about other than what you said, a few years ago, there's a lovely woman that was this instructor at CCD right in front of Community College of Denver, which is at Speer and Colfax. She worked late one night, as it is very dark this evenings and most of our evenings here in the winter. She was crossing Colfax, and a drunk driver, multiple illegal alien, hit her and knocked her a full city, almost a full city, three-quarters of a city block.
God.
It's going over 100 miles an hour.
Jeez.
She grew up in a very difficult home. She worked up to be an instructor. She's gone. Daughter's
yeah.
here.
Yep.
She's gone. And if you look at the ballistics, what occurred, I use that term because automobile has ballistics. It's about the same size and actually weight of what shoots out of those long guns on battleships. This guy was going 100 plus, blind drunk, literally could not see, and she is gone. He was working late, and she worked up to be an instructor at CCD, only maybe 10 blocks or maybe 11 blocks west, east of where this current incident happened that you mentioned this morning.
I see the memes all the time. I get the text messages from people who, reminding us that Democrats care more about these illegal aliens. Front page news story yesterday in the Post about a Democrat legislator who wants to take the words illegal alien out of Colorado statutes. They care more about those things than they do about the, and these crimes are rampant. Whether it's child molestation, rape, murder, DUIs, this guy we've been talking about, six times he's been deported. Unbelievable.
Yeah, six times.
Six times. And I'll bet there's a lawsuit maybe heading toward the Black Hawk Police as well because he was released, apparently combative, from the jail up there after a DUI up there. why weren't they holding him? Why, you know, well, we live in a time where ICE detainers apparently don't mean anything because the left cares more about these criminals than they do about their constituents and the American citizens.
Well, and not to mention the fact that this individual lived in Denver, which is a sanctuary. Wouldn't you love to be able to go home and have a sanctuary in your county, wherever you live, and do whatever you want?
Yeah.
That's what they've allowed in the city and county of Denver, a killing zone. I won't say your name on the air, but if you want to talk to family, this happened, very interesting parallel in multiple
only got about
offender,
15,
multiple
only ICE. Got about 15 seconds for you, Jay.
Thank you. Thank you very much for everything you do holiday-wise.
All right.
And your group, you're just excellent. Have a great day.
Thank you, Jay. Merry Christmas to you. Music, these are hard breaks. Nothing we can do about them. Scheduled to speak with Jenna Ellis on the other side. Callers, you can sit tight or call back, or if we don't hook up with Jenna, phone lines will be wide open. 303-696-1971. Final edition, our final Christmas Eve hour on the Peter Boyle Show. I'm Randy Corporan, really, really enjoying spending some time with you. So stick around. Good final hour. Stay with us. Christmas Eve, 710 KNUS.